to the meeting. Thanks for joining us. We are expecting, I haven't heard from Rob this morning. I don't know if anybody's heard from him. His back had gone out the other day. He said he would try and be here this morning. And I understand that James Ferguson had car trouble yesterday, so we were assuming he'd be here. And Marion Barry's also supposed to be here. So hopefully all these folks will show up soon. And as we know, several people are ill or have ill family members and can't make it this weekend. Before we start, I just want to make sure everybody has some material. Last night we were given the adjusted budgets for each of the stations, the national office, the archives, and the consolidated budget. Did everybody get one? Everybody on the board get one of these? Dick, I don't know. Did you see one of these packets with the budget? The adjusted budget. Everybody else has it. Okay. Then also this morning, everybody, I think at their mics, were given a packet of information from Brian DeShazer from the archives to add to your packets. Did everybody get that? I have some more if you don't have that. Unfortunately, the hole punches don't quite match the rings in the... Yes, that's it. So I don't know what we can do about that. And then also yesterday I gave everybody a copy of a memo proposed for some action on our part from Matthew Lazar about hearings that are coming up by the Federal Communications Commission. I want to make sure everyone has a copy of that memo. Again, Ted, can you pass this over to George, please, to Dick? If anybody is missing that, please let me know. Okay, so let's get going. We have on the agenda this morning, the first order of business is actually Jabari had asked in the course of putting together this agenda for the meeting, Jabari had asked to include a time for a general discussion about where we're headed in this work of rebuilding Pacifica. And there were several issues that he surfaced. I'm sure there are many, many others, too. We only really have about an hour for this conversation. This is not meant by any means to be a definitive, final conversation, but to surface, to put on the table concerns and ideas and thoughts that people have that hopefully will be taken up in future conversations as we proceed. But I thought it did make sense to spend a little time trying to air those at least and get the issues out on the table. Because we only have an hour for this and there could be a set of complex issues that raise, I really want to ask everybody to try and limit their comments, to really get your most important or the issues that are of utmost importance in your thinking right now out on the table, perhaps not cover every single thing that's on your mind. When we are done with that, there were three people last night who graciously said that they would wait today to have their comments heard. So after we have this general discussion among the board, then we'll take those three comments that were left over from last night and then move on to the treasurer's report and other financial matters that we need to discuss. So, Jabari, do you want to open up with some of your thoughts? Oh, I'm not sure. Is it Jabari? I'm sorry. This is your treasurer's report. Did you pass them out?
I did.
Everyone has one?
I don't know if everybody.
I need one. Did everybody get the report from Jabari, the treasurer's report? Okay, we're not discussing that yet.
Yeah.
We're having a general conversation. I just want to make sure everyone has all the material, though. Okay, thanks. Okay, Jabari, yes. Actually, I'm sorry, before you start also. Again, I just want to thank the stations that are broadcasting this live and the web sites that are doing the web streaming of this live. We very much appreciate all the help at the stations and also from the technical crew here with us in Washington who are helping to make these broadcasts and webcasts possible. And we are aware of the fact that we are broadcasting. I want to encourage people to identify themselves when they speak, which, of course, I didn't do. I'm Leslie Kagan from New York. So, Jabari.
Good morning. This is Jabari Zakia from Washington, D.C. One of the things, after being on the board for a year, I think it's good that we kind of do a year in review, but also what I really want to put out is some ideas for whoever else is thinking about coming into Pacifica or working with Pacifica in any capacity, especially people who might be thinking about being on the board of directors. So one of the things that I think really needs to be discussed, and the real, and to whatever extent there can be achieved a consensus of at least generalized agreement on, is within the foundation, what is the balance of power and focus and perspective between the local autonomy of stations and a national structure that operates the foundation from a national perspective and with a national allocation of resources. I think one of the things that has been historically true is that the foundation has been basically the radio stations. Even though the foundation on paper isn't, it's called a foundation, we are not a foundation. We don't give scholarships and we don't award grants. So in from a titular point of view, the title doesn't in any way, shape, or form project what we really do. And that only can be done if we are to be a true foundation and give scholarships and things like that in the literary arts and so forth that you read about in the mission statement. We're going to have a whole different perspective on what the foundation is and how we operate. Under the mission statement, it says that we are to be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. To be nearly self-sustaining as possible means that we're going to have to go into some business activities or some revenue-generating activities that we haven't historically done or gone into, because I truly am very worried about our over-reliance and almost complete reliance on listener fund drives. I don't think we will not be able to expand as an organization solely based on listener fund drives. Also, programming. We talked about that yesterday a little bit, but there needs to be a real focus on the mission in all elements of the operations of the foundation. I'm really concerned that people are trying to overlay political and ideological issues and focuses that they personally have or their groups personally have with the mere fact that, that Pacifica as a foundation, as a nonprofit corporation, is really not set up to be a political proselytizer for any particular view, any particular party. You know, the mission statement says we are to be we are to operate solely for educational purposes, to be nearly self-sustaining as possible, and then to do certain things within the realm of broadcast radio activities. So my major concern, being in this position for nearly a year now, is that the focus has not really been on, you know, and a lot of this is just situational because of how we came in and just the troubles and the issues that we have just had to try to clean up and deal with as a board. And like Leslie said, we are all overtapped as individual people. But that needs to be put in consideration for the next group of people, because what I have been trying to do in all of my pronouncements is to bring us to a sense of reality that we can't do everything and we can't do it all today or tomorrow or in any kind of immediate time frame. So I want the people who are thinking about coming into these different positions and seeking the board, this board, the next national board, that I really want people to be grounded in reality based on the mission and have some kind of sense of where we should go and where we can go with the resources that we have, and try to do it as efficiently as possible and not overlay other things that may be associated with Pacifica but really are not fundamental to Pacifica. And I think that's something that I really think people need to really focus on and keep in their mind as they try to move Pacifica forward versus any particular agenda or political concern.
Okay, thank you. Other comments or thoughts, Teresa? We're going to have the board discuss it first, and when we do, after a while, go to folks. We're going to take the three people who were left over from yesterday first. Yeah.
Jabari, I really do appreciate what you just said, especially the expression grounded in reality based upon some information that you just gave me this morning. I also am very concerned. One of the most valuable parts of the mission for me are what talks about dialogue and seeking sources of conflict. And it seems like when we have the dialogue, some people have gotten, in the course of the dialogue, they have used the dialogue to go for power and try to overpower people in the dialogue and then actually want to exclude other people from the dialogue. There seems to be a lot of posturing and lecturing. And I would just like to see more voices and help. I would like to see more dialogue. And I know it's very time-consuming, and the whole democratic process is time-consuming. But my concern is that a lot of people that are saying, we want transparency and we want democracy, a lot of times I'm not seeing transparency and democracy. And the transparency issue is people saying, we want transparency. We want you to expose everything so we can embarrass you, or for somebody's own ends, they want transparency. And I would like to see transparency for an improved dialogue, so you can understand other people's points of view and hopefully come up with a better return for your time.
Other comments? Well, Carol. Carol, and then George. Okay, George, and then Carol.
As Jabari, as Rob, as many of us have said, we need to have a dialogue about what the mission of this foundation, where we're going. And we have not had that. You know, we all, I believe, have our own thoughts on where we want the foundation to go. And it seems to me to be an element of the dysfunctionality of this board and this organization, and that we've not had that dialogue.
Carol, and then David.
Well, the original Articles of Incorporation set out a statement of purposes for the foundation, which are cultural and political. And they emphasize that we are to carry out many things through radio broadcasting. So we have been radio broadcasting for 53 years and have grown from 1 to 5 stations over that period of time. And I think that that throughout that 50 years, there's been an evolving but always an, grounded sense that Pacifica is dedicated to peace. Pacifica is dedicated to resistance to tyranny. Pacifica is dedicated to justice. To in the five communities that we serve in our signal areas particularly, to bringing the voices of those communities to the air and helping those communities to find solidarity around those issues, to connect with other people who are concerned with those issues and to build a sense of community around them. Each station has its own history and unique local components or flavor to it or whatever, but I think that's always been a common agreement about what Pacifica was about. And over the last several years, perhaps as long as a decade, that vision and that commitment began to change. Gradually moving from one station to another. And I don't know if we all understand or if any of us understands or has all the pieces of the puzzle about why that happened. And I don't really want to go into it now because we're trying to look ahead. But there's some things that I think we left behind that we need to have a discussion about reviving, reinvigorating, bringing new life to them in our radio broadcasting. At least have the discussion about what we want to do about them. And one of the things is that Pacifica, for most of its history, has not relied on paid programmers, paid producers. Most of our programming has been done over the 50 years that we've been doing it by volunteers or unpaid workers. And in the early 90s, we began focusing on, we changed and started developing daily, highly produced programs at some of the stations, not all of them, and also on the national level. And at the national level, part of the impetus to do that was we began to get subcarrier money that could fund national programming. The subcarrier money is now diminishing because new technologies are coming in. So that was an income stream that was intended to jumpstart and help fund national programming in a big way. That income stream is going away. We have, at some of our stations, developed a fair amount of daily, highly produced programming, news magazine stuff, morning drive time programming. We have at the station I'm most familiar with, we have flashpoints at KPFA, which came out of the first Gulf War and has been going since then, and is an extraordinary program and is, in fact, the highest fundraiser per hour at on an hourly basis at KPFA. So I'm looking at the expense of highly produced daily programs versus the relatively inexpensive production of not daily programs. Nobody can do a daily program without getting paid, because it's a full-time job. But if you're doing a weekly program or even a monthly program, you can do it. And there's so many people in our communities who have so much to offer that opening our doors up to them, bringing them in and getting them more of them on the air again, having closed the doors and lost many of them over the past decades, just seems to me to be one of the things that we can do right now, especially in our financial crisis, to address the crying need throughout this country for public affairs, public information programming. As Leslie said last night, I think we're in the worst crisis that we've seen in this country in my lifetime. So that's one thing. I think if we're going to have national programming, we have to have a national source of income. And I think that's a question we have to address head on. Our local radio stations generate enough income to cover the programming that they're doing and their physical plant and their expenses, their broadcasting equipment. And there's so much that they've not been able to repair or keep in good order or replace or, you know, as we're going into new technology with digital stuff. They're holding things together with chewing gum and scotch tape around it. Trying to, partly because of the mismanagement of the last number of years, but now trying to help us bail us out from what we, the situation we find ourselves in. So we're taking 20% of the station income now, station listener support, and that comes nowhere near covering the needs, the expenses that are coming, are generated at the national level, not including paying our accumulated debt. The accumulated debt is nowhere in this budget, and we're showing an $800,000 or $400,000 budget shortfall. So our stations can't do this. So what we need to do is, I think, in the short term, look for new revenue sources at the national level. I apologize for running on, but I think that that context is really important. We need a national stream of income if we're going to do national programming. Either that or we need to stop doing national programming and use our station resources and share them nationally around the network and do national programming that way.
Okay, David was next.
Yeah, Dave Furtick, KPFK. I really appreciate the perspectives of Jabari and George, Teresa, Carol, everyone on the national board. I mean, it's vital that we have a long view and that we think down the road where we need to go and how to get there. We've had a lot of problems because, frankly, we're like a ship that was being driven under the rocks, and we rescued it. We had a lot of people in the crew, all of us here are listener activists on all sides of this room, and we have all gotten together to try to rescue this ship, pull it off the rocks, fix the hull, fix the mast, you know, save the cargo that's gotten destroyed, and try to engage, get back into the, pardon the expression, commerce of promoting communication and promoting world peace, social and economic justice. But in order to do that, we got to make this craft work. And while I agree we need to circumnavigate the globe and we need to take this cargo throughout the globe and pick up cargo and share the resources of this extraordinary, most important entity in this extraordinary time that we're living in, we got to get this sucker floating first. And I think that we can talk about how we have inefficiencies of planning, sure. We can talk about how the programming needs to come from the community, of course. And we can talk about how we need to economize, which is probably the most urgent issue. But we need to recognize that we are really in repair mode. We're not in progress mode, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that while I agree with Jabari, in the long term, we need to do scholarships. Hell, we can barely get this sucker floating. And I think that we need to look down the long road and see how we can get there. But before we can do that, we got to recognize two fundamental truths, and that is we are still very, very broken, both amongst our relationships, amongst our institutional staff and lab and community relations. And I think first and foremost, we got to recognize that we are an interim board. And we are here not to run the ship around the globe. We're here to make sure that the ship is available so that a proper crew can be selected so that they can start making these broad policy decisions. I agree with a lot of the policy recommendations being made around this table. I think they're beautiful. And I hope that Jabari and Carol and Teresa and George and everyone else here is elected to the national board next time around, along with many other wonderful people that have been involved. I won't be. I'm almost sorry about that. Almost. But I think we need to recognize that we are here to, as an interim board, set a stage, not conduct the play, to mix my metaphors. I apologize. So let's keep our eye on the short-term prize so that those that get the long-term can take care of business. Thank you.
If I could throw my two cents in on this. Again, this is Leslie Kagan from New York. You know, I appreciate the commitment and the desire to think about the long-term strategic thinking about where we need to go, where we want to go. And I certainly think that there is a place for that kind of discussion, a need for that kind of discussion. But I really do agree with the perspective that David just laid out, that we are charged with, that is we this interim board, not we all of the players in Pacifica, but we this interim board are called an interim board. We are an interim board. We are, by definition, a vehicle to get us, to help shepherd a process for the whole organization, to get the whole organization out of that past that we were in and ready for a future that we need to move into. And that there have been some very, very serious demands placed on us by what we inherited. The financial crisis, you know, was real. We couldn't walk away from that. We couldn't pretend it didn't exist. We had to focus our immediate attention on that. And we're not out of the woods. It's not like we're rolling in dough here, folks. Far from it. Even though the listeners have been time and time again in this last year tremendously generous with their support. I have worried any number of times over the last year, are we about to hit with this next fund drive or special day of broadcasting donor fatigue? And those of you listening, I don't want to give you any ideas. Please keep those dollars coming. The reality was that we were mandated as an interim board to deal with the situation we were given and to help shepherd a process of reviewing and revising the governance structure of this organization, to do whatever we could, working with listeners, with producers, with staff people around the network, to develop a democratic and transparent and accountable decision-making structure. And that, I think, has got to be maintained as our primary work as this interim board. Now, having said that, it's also true that the work we do today, whether we like it or not, sets the foundation for what will come tomorrow. So hopefully we're doing this work in a way where, you know, it's shaped by, or at least, you know, that we, some of the inputs into that come from our vision of the longer term sense of where we want to be going. And in that way, I do think it is important for us to have that kind of conversation of the longer term vision, but not to get too ahead of ourselves. But again, I think our primary job as an interim board has to be not only to have that kind of discussion among ourselves, but to help organize it throughout the network, to make sure that within each station's community, that is the community of paid staff, the non-paid programmers, the people on the local boards, the listener activists, within that community, those kinds of discussions are happening. And that's where the leadership and the ideas about what the future of this organization are really going to come out of. I really do believe that, even though some people think I'm a Stalinist and run everything top down, I'm really not. I really do believe that the best ideas come from the broadest conversations and having the most inputs into them. And we have a complicated structure here with these five stations, a national office, the archives, and a national overlay on top of all that. And it's in all those arenas that these discussions need to be happening. And And we need to you know, encourage the fullest discussion of all that. But I really, again, want us to complete our task and move out of this interim period as quickly as possible. So that's just some thoughts about this. And let me just also say, I actually don't think that we have been all that dysfunctional as a board or as an organization this last year. If you actually stop and think about the incredible amount of work that has happened, even though we are far from done with the bylaws, we're not out of the woods in terms of financial crisis, to call what has happened in this last year dysfunctional, I think is really an overstatement. This was a board that came together where most of us didn't know each other. We didn't even know. It took several months to get everybody's contact information to share it amongst ourselves. Given what we inherited, I think we've actually accomplished quite a bit. Not always perfectly, not always ideally, you know, in the smoothest fashion. But to call it dysfunction, I think, is to undermine a little bit of our own recent history and not quite accurate. Yes, Ray.
Yeah, that is indeed a very important discussion. I think that it would take probably a whole day at least of workshops and among all of us to sort out our priorities and we define ourselves. Obviously, some very important topics were touched on now. For me, what is vital is for the institution is recruiting the very communities that are mentioned in the Article of Incorporation. That indeed, instead of speaking for them, that they can be at the table to speak for themselves and fight for themselves. So to me, all the technical improvements and all the imaginative resources that can we bring to bear would be fairly meaningless unless the very people that they're supposed to address are part of this reconstruction. My own experience with rebuilding a union and seeing it relatively successful has been, and some of it was discussed yesterday by Dan, or implied within the discussion that we had with Dan yesterday. And I've seen this firsthand. And to me, this is the kind of investment that pays off immediately. In this effort to rebuild a union, bring the members, giving them a voice. Typically in a union, by the way, only 10% of the members read the newspaper. They can't relate to it. So the first way to increase participation is to have them read the paper. And the way for them to read the paper is for them to write in it and to know that the issues are being covered. And in that particular experience, within a very surprisingly short period of time, we had a lot of expertise coming from the members. We were able to set up a database, all volunteers. And no matter how much money we could raise, our union at that point had 25,000 members. We could never hire as many organizers as we needed. And after a while, the members themselves became the organizers. So to me, I think we should really focus on making this mission real by bringing it to the people and let them build the future of Pacifica.
Are there other comments? I know the phone is ringing, but yes, Dick.
Let me first say thank and praise God we've all made it safely today. Let me say thanks to the interim board. I read about $600 worth of newspapers every 10 days, and I've known for a long time that money is not power and education is not power, but information is power. And if I've got a system that gives me bad information, then I have bad power. Sometimes we get too close to this station and believe that, you know, that everybody that need to hear us. I accidentally heard you one day. Well, I'm going to hear you. I'm just driving. I used to drink a lot of whiskey. I used to drink so much whiskey, I'm surprised the government didn't declare me a beverage. That's when I was smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day, a fifth of scotch every day, and on my way up to my top weight of 365 pounds. So I've been where y'all on your way. And I'm driving one day, and I hit this station by mistake. Huh? But I hit it after I'm in the ice, and I swerved, reaching for my bottle of whiskey, and missed this truck. Went off the road, the car flipped over, and some kind of way your station came off. Huh? Huh? Hey, Hey, I'm used to NBC, CBS, ABC. So all at once, I'm hearing this and think I've died and gone to heaven. That's my introduction to you.
Which way did you think you went?
I didn't know which way. But I'm like hearing stuff. And I'm, wait a minute. And now I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. And I realized that you don't have to be too much to be this station in a cesspool of filth. Who are we competing with? What are you here? You got these thugs over here with a $1 trillion hustle. And you got little folks on the block. And in some kind of way, you know, we have to understand who we are. And in the process, there's a lot of internal stuff to go. My grandmother don't give a damn about that. All she wants to know something she didn't know, that America is Saddam Hussein's best customer. We spend $6 billion a year dealing with oil. That's what she want to know. She don't hear nothing about your internal this or internal that. And she was happy before she found it out. Because she really thought he was the enemy. And then all of a sudden, you open my head up and drop something on me. And then everybody said, well, it's about all. It's about, we got 70,000 cars in this country as we sit here now that runs on water. Okay? It takes the H out of the 2O and throw it back in the atmosphere. Now, I'm not stupid enough to believe I know that in the New York Times. Don't know it. In the Washington Post, don't know it. It's not about all. And so some kind of way, when we stop and think about who we are and what we mean to humanity, if I had my way, no meeting would ever be opened up in this country, from the church to the Senate to the Congress to the little homeless folks, without saying, we are now getting ready to function another day in the most racist, sexist, insane, ungodly, unspiritual system that's ever existed in the history of the planet. Now, for y'all to sit here and make like we can function without recognizing this, we crazy. And then once we recognize this, now where do we go from here? And you don't fight fire with fire. You don't fight hatred with hatred. You don't fight violence with violence. And the chemistry in this room, we can turn this around. The chemistry in this room. You know? I've sit with Ku Klux Klanners. I've sit with filth. And the great part was sitting with them. There was no one on the Klan side that had a hidden agenda. You know? They said, all niggas should be dead. You know? Then all at once, I move out of that, and I get into meetings where there's hidden agendas, and I say, wow, bring me back to the Klan. Because the Klan was right. The Klan said, we let these niggas vote, they'll take over. And now today, they were right. The Mississippi had more black elected officials than any other state in America. The Klan was right. But somewhere, and so let me just say, you know, you're a nut. I've been called that for so long. And then one day it dawned on me, he said, well, you know, a nut. Every time I see that strong oak tree over there, it came from a nut. Now, we got to decide, are we going to be this strong oak tree? And then there's a tree out in the forest that never got no sunlight. It just came up like we did, like this. Everybody was already in place when Pacifica went out. And this little tree started growing in the forest. It couldn't get no sunlight, and it couldn't get, so it looked ugly and fragile. And then one day it looked around, and it's the biggest tree in the forest. Because there's a universal God intelligence that said, when you can't get the proper sunlight, I'll give you some roots that can go deeper down in the ground than any other tree. And then one day, everybody, when they need to run for refuge in the park, they run to this tree. This is where we are. And mosquitoes do not create swamps, and swamps do not create mosquitoes. But if you get rid of the swamp, the mosquito will leave. This is what we, this is all we're going to do, is get rid of the swamp. That's all this is for. Get rid of the swamp. And the mosquitoes will leave. And the seed, when I found out where I learned the seed from, then I wasn't scared of it. I learned from my mother. She'd get up in the morning and put lipstick and rouge and makeup on. She knows.